Hey everybody, it's Stefan from a Comedy Advice Podcast. I attempted to do the music from the Chicago Bulls circa 1994, that music where they came through from the locker room. I don't think I nailed it, so I'll try it again later, practice for the next episode. But just to paint the picture, because I feel like my brush through my voice and song did not do the job. Anyway, beyond my failures, I have a success, and the success is this episode. This episode has a very special guest. His name is Jonesy, and he is a multifaceted entertainer. He's a comedian, and we actually talk about his tour in Asia, where he actually did comedy in several different Asian countries while the pandemic started. So it was really interesting to hear what those countries were doing, his skepticism towards it, and then him thinking, oh, well, maybe that's what we should be doing. So it's a really interesting episode, no matter what side you are on. I don't know if there are sides, but anyway, it was really fascinating. He's a hilarious comic. So we talk a little bit about comedy, of course. We talk about his podcast, Weird AF News, which is like 20-minute segments daily where he just talks about weird news that's out there, and then Friday's dedicated to Florida because obviously Florida is insane. So we had an awesome time talking to him. I also have Eric and Cam with me on this episode, and Jonesy is just a really smart dude, so I was so happy to be able to talk with him, and we had a blast. So you will too. Do I sound like a dad? You will enjoy your broccoli, okay? And you will enjoy episode 189 with Jonesy. Oh, God. Well, I'm very stern, so I feel like I need to give you guys some ice cream afterwards. The ice cream will be the episode, but before that, a little more broccoli. Guys, thank you. Thank you so much for listening to a Comedy Advice Podcast. If you want to support me further, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you're listening. Tell your friends. Tell them. A Comedy Advice Podcast is good for you, and it helps you become a better person, said me, the person that makes it. So feel free to just use that language when you're promoting it. All right, guys, and then support Jonesy. Support him, listen to his podcast, follow him on Instagram. So yeah, show him some love, show us some love, and I'm going to show you some love by shutting my yappa.
A Comedy Advice Podcast.
An advice podcast for Stefan
and friends
to make exaggerated statements not meant to be taken literally.
What was that, Stefan?
Comedy Advice Podcast.
You know what happened to me a couple spring trainings ago? There's all these teams playing simultaneously, and my mom's got some roots in Chicago, so when the Cubs come to play, we always get a couple people out and go see the Cubs. And I had no idea they did this, but apparently they will sometimes split the teams and have them playing simultaneously at two different ballparks. So my parents bought the tickets and they were, all right, we're going to meet at 1 p.m. at the ballpark. All right. And I just Googled Cubs game on date, 1 p.m. Got it. And I ended up at the wrong ballpark.
Oh, you went to the other game?
Yeah, I went to the other game. And I was on the phone with my mom, walking around trying to... One ballpark had entrances that were 1, 2, 3, and 4, and the other one had A, B, C, and D. So we were getting so frustrated. I was like, I'm at gate D. And she's like, well, I'm at 3. And I'm just like, that doesn't exist.
Oh my God. That sounds like a nightmare. Like,
it was a nightmare. Like, yeah. Once we figured it out, I just went home. I was
dead. Yeah, and even that wasn't good. That's just like a done. Bummer. Like, you're like,
anyways, oh, I digress.
I wish that conversation was recorded, because I would have loved to hear that. Yeah.
Oh, for real.
But anyway, nope, you know what? Just for us. Yeah, just for Eric and his mom.
That was just a regular friendship conversation.
Yeah, that's great. I was going to say, is it because the Chicago Cubs like spring training field is here that all those fucking Chicago-style deep dish pizza joints are also following and spread across the valley? Because we've got a lot now.
I don't know if it's like a one because of the other, really? But I'm happy for the authentic options. Let's put it that way.
That's fair. Yeah. Jonesy.
You guys like Chicago style pizza?
No, I think it's fucking garbage. But no, no. Nothing. I like a New York slice. That's my ideal type. I feel like
a little more thin, right?
So deep with the Chicago one.
It's like soup.
Yeah, it is. It's like pizza soup.
It's like a bread bowl.
They're like, how can
but it's
we
just
make
marinara.
Unattractive.
Did I just order a lasagna?
Yeah.
Seems like it, because it takes 3 hours to make one slice, and then it's just all downhill from there.
It's very carby.
Yeah,
that's a good adjective for it. I like that. It's very carby. It is
so
very
carby. so carby.
Chicago gets cold.
I wonder if they could make that into a restaurant instead of Arby's. They could have a Carby's, and it's just
Carby's.
All the carby foods.
Just be upfront about what's there. It's just all bread and stuff, bread and cheese. Panera should just change their name to Carby's.
Oh man, I guess it gets
bought out by the less classy owner.
Yeah, the name just keeps changing.
Man,
same old classic menu.
Oh god. All right. Well, what a beautiful way to start this. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a comedy advice podcast. My name is Stefan Sitani, and I'm your host. Joining me today is my good friend, Phoenix comedian Eric Hughes.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well. How are you, man?
Fantastic. Ready for Friday.
I thought we were going to find each other at first because I was in Zoom room A and you were in Zoom room 1. So we had a little confusion, but we're here. This is good. Thank you for joining us. Please don't interrupt me, Cam, when I'm introducing you.
Oh, sorry.
We've also got Phoenix comedian and good friend Cam.
Hey, guys. Sneed. Hey, how's everybody doing?
Hey, doing well.
Good to see you.
Good to see you as well, man. It's been a long time. You look fresh. You went out and got a haircut, it looks like.
Yep. Gotta look nice for the ladies.
That's great. I mean, that's the one thing you can show to them besides the face.
Yep.
So that's
pretty much all I got. Yep.
Well, good. We've also got a very special guest joining us today. He hasn't had the chance to speak much yet because us three blabbermouths keep going on about Carby's, but... He's a stand-up comedian based in LA that's performed in 7 different countries. He hosts and produces Weird AF News that recently hit 1 million downloads. He's also an actor seen in Gotham, Drunk History, Unbreakable with Kimmy Schmidt, and more. Everybody, please welcome Jonesy. Woo!
Oh, that was like the best intro ever of my life. I'm so flattered. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. It's good to be here. It's nice to talk to fellow comics. I haven't been hanging out with comics for a bit because of what's going on in the world. So it's nice to get together with some comics digitally and shoot the shit a little bit. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here. I hope your listeners find this episode entertaining. I think it's going to be.
Oh, I think so too. If you're spitting fire like Carby's early on in the episode, I think the listeners are already hooked. And your voice with that new mic, it's just so velvety and smooth. I feel like
you've
got a nice carby voice because it's filling me up with energy.
That's amazing. I love that analogy there. by the way, this microphone was only $60. So, see what you can do on a budget. You can make your dreams come true.
Damn. You know what? Jonesy's going to drop me the affiliate link for all you listeners that want to start a podcast. You can click on that in the show notes.
I can't recommend the Samson Q2U microphone highly enough.
Wait, you mean this one?
Oh, shit. There's another
one. Where did you get it?
Amazon?
Amazon. Same.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. See, well,
Eric's got it too.
Hey,
look at.
Guess what, guys? I'm going to be sounding a lot better next week.
Yeah. Get on it, Cam. Get on it.
Send the affiliate link, Jonesy, and then Cam's gonna be the first purchaser, so we'll get some money straight.
Oh, wait, do you have
15 cents with the stand?
Do you have to have a computer?
Yeah.
Okay. It might be more than a couple weeks.
Unless it comes
with a computer.
I have successfully connected mine to my phone.
Really?
Wow, you don't have to brag.
I'm just saying. if you stretch long enough in the morning, you'll be able to fit it right on your phone.
Oh my gosh.
That's pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah. One host that's really technologically advanced, and then the other one. I just imagine you, Cam, buying the microphone and then trying to plug the USB into your phone, and you're like, it doesn't
work. You need a dongle. Cam, you're going to need a dongle.
Oh God, that is essential. Dongle.
Yeah.
Do you know what a dongle is?
Does anybody know a good dongle guy?
Craigslist.
Craigslist. Yeah.
Just Google dongle guy.
Meeting dongle guy. Great. Anyway, Jonesy, I wanted to ask how you've been holding up. I know you said you haven't been hanging out with a lot of comics. LA, obviously, kind of shut down. Arizona, not so shut down. We've still got some clubs open.
Yeah, we're
and
we're
comedy.
Up.
Yeah, comedy. It's like I feel like comedy's in a coma a little bit, but in Arizona, we're moving our finger at least. So there's signs of life. I didn't mean to be super creepy about that, the little ET probe. But what have you been doing to pass the time? How have you been? I mean, are you okay? Do you need help?
Well, that's nice of you. I'm okay. I'm okay. I just kind of miss being on stage. I miss auditioning and that sort of thing. All the stuff that went away. I miss that stuff. I'm still recording the podcast 5 days a week, so I still got that going on. But I actually took a regular job for the time being, just to kind of pass the time and help pay bills. And I'm working at a COVID testing facility, of all places.
Oh,
you just went straight to the source, huh?
Yeah. Well, another comedian friend of mine got a job there at the lab working like security. And they're like, hey, I'm like, well, what do I got to do? They're just like, just sit here and keep an eye on the scientists, make sure they're safe and make sure they got enough coffee. I was like, okay, sure, easy.
Make sure they don't go anywhere.
We make sure they don't really go anywhere. We keep them fed and
Jesus.
Don't let the test monkeys escape.
Yeah. You don't get to go home to your family until there's a cure.
Yeah, we don't let them out. We tase them if they try and leave. Keep them in the lab. We're like, you get back in that lab and you keep that test, you keep testing people.
Comedy must come back. Come on.
I'm like, I don't know why you guys aren't inventing a cure. Get back in there.
That's correct. Well, that's great. You're doing God's work. This is awesome. I'm glad somebody's doing it. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's just a weird. I never thought I'd find myself in such a situation. If you told me I'd be doing this a year ago, I would have been like, that's an acid trip. Like, that can't be real.
But it is.
I'm not doing comedy. I'm working at a laboratory. I've never even, I know nothing about science. I have no business being at a laboratory for any reason, really, except for to, get a blood test of my own or something. I never
guard science.
Yeah. I just don't, I don't know anything about, what's going on in there. I'm just there.
Oh man.
4 days a week.
I thought for a second you were, when you told us you were working there, I thought it was going to be you were doing the tests, administering the tests to people that wanted to get it. And I was thinking,
yeah, I thought too.
I'm not even qualified for that. Like, I'm below that. They're like, they don't even let me do anything like that.
You're not even allowed to swab people.
No, I don't even swab people. I don't do anything of the sort.
Just sit there and watch everybody else. Can
I just kind of sit around. Yeah, I sit
not
around.
Not a swab job.
Swapped.
I get paid to listen to fantasy football podcasts all day, really, is what's really going on.
Sweet.
Oh, nice. And speaking of podcasts, I'm glad you mentioned Weird AF News, which is your podcast that you release daily. So that's a great way to release your creative juices and
bust your
creative load. And it's awesome. I love Weird AF News. I'll talk a little bit about it because I'm going to try and botch it. No, but every day, there's some weird AF news stories that come out. You read them like today, or I listened to a couple, and one of them was like, wife bites off husband's dick because he refused to, I think I was so shocked I faded out the words after that, but really
interesting. He refused to remove a rat from their bedroom. That was today's, I think, wasn't it? Yeah, that was today's
episode.
Yeah,
I think that was today's. Yeah.
Yeah, that was some strange story out of Zambia or someplace. Someplace that has rats in the bedroom and wives that have no problem sinking their teeth into some genitalia.
Seriously. God.
Yeah. So I do three weird news segments a day, Monday through Friday. And on Friday, I only do weird news out of Florida.
Florida.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Everybody loves the Florida Friday episode. That's the most popular episode. People go crazy for the weird Florida stories, and they just never end. and they just get crazier and crazier. I don't understand what's going on over there. It's a cesspool of degeneracy, that's for sure.
The actual reason we get so many crazy news stories out of Florida is because their open access laws. Pretty much any arrest, any reporter can request information on, and they just get it immediately.
Yeah, and then there's also the bath salts.
That too. They just wash. That's where they're washing up on shore.
Yeah.
God damn. It's fucking a marshland of mischief over there.
Oh, I love that. A marshland of mischief. Yeah, because it is pretty marshy, right?
They should put that on the license plates. That should be the new state slogan. But
wasn't it the, I mean, I'm not a huge baseball guy, but wasn't it the Marlins that were like the whole entire team were the ones that caught COVID and kind of just like basically like forfeited for the rest of the season?
Sure.
And I was like, that is such a Florida thing to, to do.
Well, I mean, you know, you're in Arizona and I'm in Southern California. We really can't make fun of anybody for their COVID cases at this point.
That is very true. That is very true.
But Florida really was totally fucked with that shit.
The baseball team's still playing out here.
Yeah, Arizona's like COVID can't hurt us if we don't believe in it. So
I know, right?
Yeah.
When I was there in March, you know, I had left. I kind of fled LA to go because I just when I got back from my tour in Asia, I just saw just COVID hysteria in Los Angeles. And I was like, I gotta get out of here. And your state really wasn't dealing with any hysteria at that time in March. You guys were still comfortable. The restaurants were open and no one was freaking out. So like I had a great time in Arizona. But and then after I got back to LA, then you guys freaked out. Like you guys
a little
really,
breakdown. We had a slight breakdown.
Yeah, yeah. So that's when it really got crazy. And I was like, oh,
but look
damn.
At us now. We're opening back up.
Yeah, and now you're opening back up like before we are.
Yeah.
I love it though.
Out here.
That's good. I'm glad that Arizona provided a little bit of rejuvenation for you.
I had my impression was golfing. That's what my impression was. Golfing.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Golfing and fat people. That was my impression.
That is a very fair assessment. We do have the biggest, we have the most amount of golf courses per square mile in Scottsdale, Arizona, more than any other city in the country. And then I think we're second in the most amount of obese people. No, I'm kidding. It depends on where you go. Well, I think Phoenix is larger. Scottsdale is, I think everyone's kind of fake at that point. They're like half plastic. So
wealthy place, right?
Yes, very wealthy.
Yeah,
we're
too
far
impression.
From beaches to have the like that pressure to have good bodies all the time. You know?
You're right. There is a pressure when you're near the
That's the a California water. Thing to be fit all the time. Like there's no beaches out here really, so there's no everybody just
it doesn't stop people from tanning.
That's for sure.
That is true. God. But anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you had mentioned being an Asian, you're an internationally touring comedian, and in your bio, 7 different countries, and I think you were in 4 before or while the outbreak had started. And so I wanted to ask you a little bit about that because I had read one of the articles that when we had first started talking, you sent over, and it was fascinating to see such a low number of cases, or in some countries there weren't even cases, but there were temperature checks at airports. Some of your shows were getting shut down. So I wanted to ask, what was the experience like and what was going on in your mind? Were you thinking, oh, this stuff's serious because of the stuff they're doing? Or were you thinking, this might be another SARS or Ebola or something because there aren't any cases practically?
Yeah. I mean, of course I was wondering why they were reacting so hard, you know. I thought, to me it seemed like an overreaction, and and I wasn't really abiding by their suggestions, and all they were suggestions. It was like, you know, you should wear a mask, and but everybody did it that lived there, it seemed. And I don't know, I didn't really put a mask on until the end of my trip when I was in Japan. So I was like, there's no cases, I don't understand why everyone's freaking out. And then, you know, of course, back in the States, I was like, wow, this is what happens when you don't freak out, you know, like you don't shut it down. Like what they're doing is proper. And you mentioned SARS, and I think it's because they have this sort of SARS experience. So they all they all got, you know, 27 masks in their sock draw ready to go, you know. And these stores already had temperature gauges ready to go as well. Places had temperature gauges ready to go. So like in a place like Taiwan, you know, I'm in Taipei and there's only been, you know, I don't know, 10 cases at that time. And they were already taking my temperature when I entered a store. They were already requiring me to have a mask on when I went into some food places. And there wasn't even a single death yet. So, at the time, I'm like, this is ridiculous. I remember being denied entrance into the bakery because I didn't have a mask. I had to go. Then I had to go get one to go into this bakery. And so to me, it was kind of I was a little aggravated about it, and I didn't understand. But now in hindsight, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's how you do it. And you know, Taiwan, they're the cleanest country. They got their act together. Yeah. So quickly, and they were the quickest to no cases, and they've maintained that. So I see, like, oh yeah, that's how you do it. I was having shows canceled. I didn't agree with it, you know. of course yeah. I'm just like, come on, man, just come. There's no, you know, there's not a lot of cases. Just come to a comedy show, like,
yeah, just have fun. Yeah,
you know, I just thought, like, this is an overreaction. I admit, I did think that. It wasn't until I got to the States, like I said, that I realized it was not. But yeah, so I was disappointed. I was disappointed I lost shows. I was disappointed I lost money. I was disappointed that some of the shows had half capacity. So that was, that was a bit of a letdown. I was thinking, man, I chose the wrong time to be traveling Asia. My shows in Tokyo were canceled altogether. I didn't do a single show in Tokyo. I managed to do a couple in Osaka.
Okay.
But I was really looking forward to those Tokyo shows, man. Really.
Yeah.
And so that was the very end of my trip. And I was just like, God damn it. But overall, great experience. You know, I'd never been to some of these countries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to be in places that are so, where the culture is so vastly different from your own is it's a nice learning experience. And then to do stand up in those places, it's challenging, and it's great. If you've been doing stand up a long time, it's like these kinds of experiences, they get you going, you know, because it's something that, you know, if you do for a long time, it can kind of get a little, it can get a little routine and a little dull. So this was just like, wow, this was exciting. You know, I was bombing again, and I had to figure out how to get stuff to work over there. And I loved that. I loved that. Yeah. It was like being an open micer again.
That's so funny. Cause I had seen some of your stand up online, and obviously very funny. And I was going to ask you about going internationally, especially to countries where they don't speak the same language, not even fucking close, like very distant, different language family. And I'm sure there are expats there that might be interested in going to see, but I was going to, I mean, even then it might be expats that they might be English speakers. Maybe they're American, maybe they're South African or from the UK or something. So all these different cultures with different things, where if you're going into observational comedy on, an apartment, and then someone else says, oh, it's a flat to me or something, these nuances that just might not make it click for them and give them that tasty surprise that they're hungry for.
I mean, you nailed it. So that was the situation. It was either the country spoke predominantly English, which is the case in Singapore and Malaysia. The country's pretty English speaking, which was Taiwan. A lot of people speak English in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. But then you have Japan, where no one speaks English. So that's an expat show for sure. Those shows in Osaka and Tokyo, those are expats. And, you know, there wasn't many Americans. It was a lot of UK people. It took place. Both those cities have expat shows in an English pub. And
nice.
Yeah. Wow. And so they have, I imagine, the Tokyo show did not happen, but in Osaka, it was a lot of people from the UK for sure. But those other places, you know, English speaking, Taipei in Taiwan was fascinating because, you know, the majority of the population speaks both English and Chinese, and the comedy shows that they do at this club, they, some of them are in English, some of them are, are in Chinese, and they do, they'll even do open mics that will alternate English with Chinese comics.
Holy shit.
And the club is run by a dude from Maine or Vermont. I can't remember where it's from, where he's from, but he's a New Englander like me. I'm from Massachusetts. He's from, and he's from, I believe he's from Vermont. Anyways, I know his Facebook profile, he's wearing a Celtics jersey. This is one of the things we had in common. I was like, dude, I'm from Boston and I'm going to be at your, I'm coming there. Can you, can we work something out? And so, yeah, his name's Sam and he's super cool. Nice kid. He learned enough Chinese to do 5-minute set in Chinese. So he'll go up on the Chinese open mic and do some jokes in Chinese. Fascinating situation going on over there. I really loved it a lot. That comedy club is wonderful, wonderful. And the crowd was really good, but yeah, you're right. So it's either the expats or it's, you know, the country they speak, they do speak English, but of course in both cases, they're missing the cultural similarities dependent that seem to be country dependent.
Yeah. That's so fascinating.
Yeah. You know, so I'm in Singapore, they speak English, of course. Great. Mm-hmm. But they don't, you know, I do a jury duty bit. They don't have jury duty. They don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
That's just one example of many that I had to learn, like, oh shit, you don't know what this is. You guys don't have Amber Alerts. I do a whole bit where I make fun of Amber Alerts. At, like, they don't even have that shit. They have no idea what I'm talking about. You know, then you got to go to those bits that are pretty universal. Like, oh, I got, you know, older jokes that I do. Like I do, you know, 10 minutes on just being a short guy, you know, older bit. But, you know, anyone can relate to that.
Very relatable, especially out there.
Yeah. So
even made that a funny point. Like you guys probably don't have it here, but you've heard of us Americans with our stupid nut allergies. And, you know, that was kind of a way to weave into it. Yeah, and they got it. They're like, you know, you probably, this is something you've heard of, but I'm here to tell you it's actually true.
So those kinds of bits worked. And then I just found myself trying to write material from the get go when I was in Singapore, which was kind of where my main base was. I was just, and I was getting up on all the open mics I could get up on. And trying to write material on my experience being, you know, an American traveling in Asia. And so was able to write 10, 12 minutes of that in a couple of weeks. And then I just used that kind of chunk. And then I added some of the stuff that I had that was universal that could get me by. And then I do a little crowd work. And next thing you know, I'm doing 45 and it's okay. It's okay. It's not great. But by the time I was headlining Malaysia, I could do it.
Wow, that's amazing.
Hell yeah.
Pretty cool, man. Usually I hear about people that are like, oh, I want to learn a new language. So then I go to that country and then it pushes me to learn it. But you're like, I want a new 45. So then you go to a bunch of different countries and then you kind of pick up on it and you put yourself in a situation, like you said earlier, you're getting comfortable and you want a little bit of a change. And this is really forcing you to go there and through some bombing and learning, being able to create some material pretty rock solid and bulletproof internationally.
Well, you know, we're all, and I'm sure you guys are just as curious as I am and observant. This is what comics seem to be. We're observers of and commentators of human behavior, and nobody does it better than we do it. And when you're in a foreign land where people are vastly different than you, those things really pop. I mean, it's like every day, at least a few things will hit you like, wow, that's fucking different. That's weird.
Right. Everything's so new and amazing.
Exactly. And then so therefore, every night I had a new thing that I could talk about and just see what I could do with it, you know, and see if I could get it to work. And a lot of times it was just comparing the behavior to where I'm from. So, you know, like, for instance, in Singapore, the you know, they really frown upon public displays of affection. They don't allow you to do it, really. It's very and you know, that's much different than in America, where you could basically finger your girlfriend at the crosswalk and, you know, nothing really.
You might get a high five. People are like, yeah, bro, keep it up.
I've seen the videos.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen? Someone's going to come up and take some video of it and then ask to tag you. You know, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Where's the line in Singapore?
Yeah. And like, that's
probably not drawn, like, the finger.
That was like, you know, that was kind of the gist of the bit that I was toying with over there. That's just like a one behavior funny. That I noticed that was vastly different. And then, you know, we're off to the races because there's so many instances like that that you can just kind of go on. And by the way, and the rest of the world knows that I think America is pretty kind of fucked up, you know? So even like you can choose a normal behavior in one country and then compare it to how we do it in the States, you know? It's just,
as
I think the rest
as the snotty American.
Yeah, I just think the rest of the world gets it that, you know, there's so much crime here. There's, you know, they think everyone's got a gun here. I mean, it's just like, this is a different place and the rest of the world looks at us like we're kind of nuts, I think.
We don't even use the metric system.
I know, which is really revolutionary. we're truly anarchists.
I
want to ask you real quick, how were the open mics out there? Like, do you have any like interesting, because I know open mics is kind of draws a lot of different characters out here, so I would imagine in a foreign country.
The one standout with the mics that I experienced over there was that they were packed with crowd. There was a regular crowd. It was not, they didn't feel to me like real open mics. They felt like shows. It was outstanding. Wow. I went to one open mic. It was standing room, over 100 people in this club at an open mic. I couldn't believe it. You know, I was like, I told the club owner, I'm like, wow, these mics are like better than most of the shows that I do in LA. I got to tell you, this is outstanding. I was so pleased. That was the one standout, I think, for me anyways, at those open mics there. And therefore, I was able to get a lot of work done because every show had real crowd. It's not like those mics that, you know, when you guys have all experienced this and your listeners may have heard you talk about these kinds of open mics that you go to and it's just 11 comics sitting around looking at their phone and you can't really get work done that way.
Hard to get feedback. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't get any feedback at all. You're lucky if they just have their eyeballs in your direction.
Yeah, exactly. God damn. And I was going to say one more thing too. You had talked about the shows getting canceled and everything and in some countries, but one of the things that you did with some of your time is create videos on different things that you noticed or observed that were different in other countries. And one of the videos that I saw was you could buy salmon from a vending machine.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Man. So there was all these weird vending machines, man. And yeah, so in Singapore, there was a vending machine that had salmon in it. And I just was like, this is insane. And then of course I immediately thought, how do I use this as material? And so I shot a fun video of me buying the salmon out of a vending machine. And then I shot part two was me cooking and eating the salmon. I actually wanted to push the envelope on part two. I wanted to cook the salmon and then eat it off the ground in Singapore because the city is so damn clean.
So clean.
Oh, yeah.
It's like so damn, like you could actually eat it off the ground, but yeah, my girl wasn't having that. She just
talked you out of it, huh?
Yeah, she just really talked me out of it. But she's a bit of a germaphobe, so I get what she's coming from.
Like how in Phoenix you can cook an egg in the summer on the sidewalk.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
And then eat it.
And you can eat it too.
Yeah, you know Singapore is quite
perfectly
hot.
Clean.
Singapore is quite hot as well. The weather is very similar to Florida. It's extremely humid, and I actually pondered this, like, could we cook the salmon off, actually cook it on the ground and eat it off the ground? I thought maybe that would have been a possibility as well. But my girlfriend put the kibosh on these ideas. But I still got a great video out of it. I think it's pretty shocking to buy salmon out of a vending machine for most people, especially in the States where we don't do such things.
Oh, yeah. Big time. I was thinking that because as you were getting it, I'm like, what happens if the machine breaks or just shuts down for an hour or two and then the temperature gets to the danger zone, the bacteria?
Sure.
And
then, oh, yeah.
So
I mean, I've seen tuna salad in a vending machine.
Well, yeah. Okay. So there you go. It's similar. Yeah. Tuna salad sandwich. You see.
I've never been sicker.
Although, you know, now that I think of it, and I didn't realize this, I've seen frozen salmon sold at the dollar store. So is that any worse? I don't know.
That is about a good point there.
Who didn't want those salmon and how long have they, it's like, when did that salmon get caught?
Yeah.
Last year?
Is it real salmon? Is it just Who knows? God, that's crazy. One last question I was going to ask about this is touring internationally. I was just listening to Rafinha Bastos, or Rafi Bastos. He's a comedian. He's from Brazil. He ended up being a pioneer of stand-up comedy in Brazil because they didn't really have it in the form that we have it in the United States until he came to Nebraska for for a basketball scholarship, saw the stand-up that we have here, then started to try and bring it. And he ended up growing a lot in popularity, and then he ended up getting sued multiple times for, I think the major one was there was a singer, and I'll paraphrase it, but he made a joke where he had a talk show, I think it was MTV or some big channel, but somebody asked him, do you think that this singer's still hot, pregnant? And then he said, oh, she's so hot, I'd fuck her and the baby. And so, not the greatest joke, but it ended up, he got sued by her, and I think he ended up paying 350,000 reals plus, I don't know, however much, because he hasn't stopped making
fun. That's like $12.
Yeah. So, and then he ended up getting these lawsuits, and it started bringing up these discussions, and that particular one, apparently, it's a topic of discussion in a lot of law schools as a case of free speech because they don't have things like the First Amendment.
Yeah, they don't have the
here.
Yeah.
And I heard
can sue people for talking shit. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know? I even heard Brazil, okay, third world country, I can kind of see this going by. Canada as well. I forgot the comic's name, but I think he made fun of a sick child. And I can't remember what the joke was, but I just cringe when I say it, but a kid, I think he was supposed to die and then he ended up being okay. And the guy was making a joke of everybody that donated to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, can they ask for their money back? And so that joke didn't sit well with the kid and his family. So they sued and they won that lawsuit. Or no, maybe it's still going on.
Damn.
Maybe it's still going on. But anyway, my point being, after I cringe telling all these jokes, is did you sense any type of that? I mean, I guess in China you can't really make Winnie the Pooh jokes or things like that, but was there a lot of censorship that you noticed, or were people just kind of spitballing and saying shit that you might hear here?
In Singapore, I was definitely the person pushing being the edgiest of all the comics, but the other countries, they're pretty cool. Taipei was extremely liberal. Of course, this is Taiwan's the only Asian country to legalize gay marriage. They're very cool, very progressive people. That was my favorite crowd.
Nice.
Malaysia is a very blue collar kind of country. You know, that's where a lot of the housekeepers and gardeners that work in Singapore, which is wealthy, they live in nearby Malaysia. So those were kind of my people, the working class people. They loved my shit.
Nice.
Singapore, kind of stuffy, very wealthy. The government control there is very robust. So it's not quite like China where, you know, you probably can't make fun of the government on stage in China and you'll end up in that holding cell that was just in the news. Apparently they got a million people in some sort of encampment. So for various crimes against the government, or it could be because either you spoke against the government or you simply downloaded an app that isn't permissible, you can end up in this camp. And the Chinese government's trying to keep a lid on it. But I don't know if it was Vice or one of these places, I think it might've been BuzzFeed. They interviewed two or three people that had actually been in this camp. So in China, yeah, you'd end up there, I'd imagine. Singapore has kind of some Chinese tendencies in that the government's very, very on top of shit there. They say jump, the citizens say how high. So I noticed that the comedy shows were a little bit more tame. The material was pretty tame.
I see.
Yeah, not a lot of drug talk, not a lot of sex talk. They were kind of conservative with those sorts of things. And so then I was really shocking to them on some level. I did notice that. Other than that, I felt like I could just say whatever, wherever I went. I'm sad to hear that this story, I didn't hear about that Brazilian comic and I didn't hear about the Canadian situation. I'm surprised Canada, because they're kind of known for comedy, and you know, some of the comedians ever have come out of Canada. They've always seemed to push the envelope and be pioneers of comedy.
Toronto it's sad is to me huge to hear that. For comedy.
You know, I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it was surprising to me too to hear about Canada. If you want to hear more about it, I think it was the Joe Rogan episode with Rafi Bastos or Rafinha Bastos.
Oh yeah, I should listen to that, because I didn't hear about that Brazilian thing. That's a damn shame. You know, I thought we had it bad over here, but at least, you know, you're not getting sued by the people that are, you're not getting sued by the people whose feelings were hurt, you know.
Exactly. And so Rafi Bastos, he's now here. I think right now with the pandemic, he's back in Brazil, but he's been here for a year plus, and he's kind of restarted and is now doing stand up in English. And so he's been, I think he's gotten some help from some other comics, but he's been doing stuff at the Laugh Factory, at the Comedy Cellar in New York. And so he says,
yeah, I wouldn't.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, I would stay here too. I mean, I wouldn't go to a place. I mean, you know, you make money on a weekend and you lose it the next weekend. It seems like that's a possibility. So why even put yourself through that? And, you know, it's so hard not to offend somebody. If you're really doing comedy, you know, then, you know, it's like, what do you do there? You know, somebody's feelings are going to be hurt when these things are taken out of context. Of course, of course.
Comedy waivers. Right.
You can
making people
comedy
sign
waivers.
Them.
Sure, sure. So now that's, we could talk about that. You guys might find this fascinating. So I've negotiated with the laboratory that I work at to do a comedy show. But of course, you know, when you're dealing with the corporation or a company, you know, human resources has to get involved. And so we're currently drawing up a waiver form that basically makes it so that the comedy show is separate from the company. Therefore, if you're offended by any of the content within the comedy show, the company isn't held responsible, although it's happening on company property. And although there'll be employees there, there'll be scientists and lab assistants there and whatnot. And two of the three comics work at the lab. This is the place where we've gotten these days, you know, like waivers are a real thing, I think, going forward.
That's awesome.
I'm dealing with it now. I mean, it's fascinating.
I mean, that's pretty fair though. I mean, you know, and that's pretty cool. I'm sure you guys will still kill it.
Yeah, we'll kill it. And, you know, hopefully everyone there will be reasonable. I mean, it all comes down to like,
right.
I mean,
purely semantics.
There is nothing wrong with being offended. You are entitled to feel however you feel. Your body has, if it's an emotional reaction, it's electricity that runs through your body that you can't do anything about. What you can do something about is your choice on how to handle it. And that's where the personal responsibility comes through. And if your choice of handling it is to try and get a comedy club shut down or a comedian's career ended or take the money of the comic, that's unacceptable.
Ruin someone's life. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's a poor choice. And you can do something about your reaction to it. That's where you have control. And it's not okay to ruin people's careers because you had your feelings hurt for a little while. You know, just as it's not okay to go into a movie theater and be afraid of a film and then walk downstairs and say, hey, I would like the film in number 9 to be taken out because I was frightened. I didn't expect to be so frightened. And so take that out, please. No, this is not the world that we should be living in.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Or God firing my employees because the report that they sent me had Comic Sans as the font, and that offends me. So being like,
exactly.
Hurt my feelings. So
it's covered in the waiver. The font and everything.
the waivers in Comic Sans. So, but
as it should be.
Awesome. Well, Jonesy, this has been an awesome so far. We're gonna transition from the interview portion to the self-help portion where we're gonna answer some questions. But before we get into that, is there anything else you want to say to the world? And by the world, I mean like 5 listeners, including all of our moms.
Your moms are such sweet, supportive women. It's fabulous.
They are.
I just would like to, I mean, normally I would say, hey, follow me on Instagram at Funny Jones and see if I'm performing in a club near you or something. But that's not happening. So I would just implore the listeners, if they enjoy my personality at all, to check out my podcast, Weird AF News, which is on any of your podcast players. Or you can go to weirdafnews.com and there's links there on how to listen. And just give it a chance. It's a 5-day-a-week podcast of weird news. If you think you might enjoy weird news delivered by my personality, you know, I do improv around the stories and make jokes and whatnot, and give my point of view on it and opinion on it, and tell maybe little anecdotes if it relates to my life in any way. So there's a little bit of that involved in it as well. If your listeners think they might enjoy something like that, just check out Weird AF News on your podcast player.
That's excellent. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes so they can just click on over away from our podcast and into a new podcast. I'm very protective of our podcast and I get jealous, but because you're such a great person, Jonesy, I'm going to share our listeners with you so that we can have group listeners. We can have just a big old listen orgy, hopefully.
Great, great. So. Your moms will hear my episode tomorrow, Florida Friday. Your moms are going to love it.
Oh, good. You hear that, Ma? You hear that? Someone's doing it better.
What I
love about it, too, is the commentary, the news, and then they're just little bite-sized. They're just snackable episodes. They're like 20 minutes or so. So
Yeah. I try and keep it under 20 max, yeah.
They wash down smoothly. I love it. All right. We're going to get into the self-help portion. And before we get started with the questions, we like to center ourselves and motivate ourselves with a quote of the week. An inspirational quote that we usually pluck from successful people or not people. But before we get into that, wanted to ask you, our guest, do you have any inspirational quotes that you remember, hold near and dear to you, that help inspire you in the dark days?
Yeah. It's not funny, though.
Oh, that's okay. That's totally...
Doesn't have to be.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be.
Better inspire me, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
or you're off. Kicking you off if it doesn't.
Okay, I have a few here that that I carry around and I spit them out at a rate that some people find annoying.
Try me.
I'm trying to find the one that would be most inspirational. Let me think here.
There is a time limit, so you've got about 10 seconds. No, I'm kidding. Oh, okay. Take your time. I know the pressure's really helping out, too, to remember it. It's great.
Yeah. Well, there was this. Oh, it's slipping my mind, though, this quote by Robert Anton Wilson. What was that? Oh, this quote is fabulous. Oh, certitude belongs only to those who own one encyclopedia. I love that quote.
Yeah,
it's a little deep and not funny at all, but I remind myself that often, because you'll find yourself getting in, like, let's say you'll get in ideological arguments with people, and it's helpful to remember that there are people out there, and you don't take it personally. There's just people out there that have to be right all the time, and they're not open-minded, and it's because they really only have one encyclopedia in their head, and it's the only thing they ever consult and have consulted their entire life. And it's really not their fault. It's just some people don't get exposed to alternate points of view or whatever. They're not traveled or whatever. Nothing's really knocked them out of their little rut there, their little intellectual rut. And so they always think that they have all the answers, but And so, and also on the flip side, it's helpful for yourself to remind yourself that, you know, it's so important to not carry around that one encyclopedia, to have an open mind. And because you're always, if you're paying attention, you're always gathering new information all the time. So you should be a little bit malleable in your outlook if you can. That makes you a more reasonable person. That makes you someone who, you know, won't take everything personally. I think you'll live a happier life with less friction, less arguments, and you'll be open to new experiences, which is always helpful. And you'll get along. You actually get along better with people in general as well. I think all of these are helpful.
Yeah, I'm going to take this snippet, edit it out, and then I'm going to send it to Ted for a TED talk.
Fabulous.
I'm guessing Ted is the boss. Mr. Ted, please, can you consider? That was great. And then it also reminds me of one of our listeners. Mom, One Encyclopedia Mom. She always argues with me and thinks she's
my
right.
My mom, too. One Encyclopedia Mom.
Fucking moms. Yeah. Maybe moms just have one encyclopedia because they think they're always right. But I'm going to let that, to just bury that a little deeper. And we're going to move on with our quote that we've provided. This one is actually by none other than a robot called InspiroBot. And what its main purpose is to take some of the wisest words known to man and just delicately mash them together. So you've got a really tasty quote that we're going to try and decipher. Just delicate. So, without further ado, Eric, would you like to read this week's quote from InspiroBot?
This week's quote: boring girlfriends imagine, game-changing girlfriends grasp.
Say that again.
Boring girlfriends imagine, game-changing girlfriends grasp.
Wow, that's pretty deep.
Inspirational, right?
This is a sexual quote, clearly,
that's
right?
Yeah. What I thought too. My mind immediately went there. Especially exactly. The grasp. Yeah, no. The grasp. Yeah, don't imagine. Don't sexual.
Yeah. Don't just imagine, baby. Grab it.
Yeah. Grasp. Go for it. Dick. Right, guys. Up top. Right.
Good grasp. Woo! Yeah. God. Grasp.
We all
I don't.
It.
I don't feel like I've ever grasped me, baby. Can I get a good grasp? Shit. But I think I'm going to start to incorporate that. Grasp. Yeah.
Is are these two famous quotes that have been mashed together? Is that what that program does?
I think it takes some famous quotes and then it just changes one word. And so, but yeah.
And there's also the YouTube comment section gets fed into it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of been on the fritz lately.
It goes into Reddit. It goes into Instagram.
It's a whole other podcast, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Our new podcast, Understanding InspiroBot.
Deep thoughts.
Oh, man. InspiroBot. I love it. I'm a fan. Is this a website or an app?
It's a website. If you just go to inspirobot.me, you can just click and it will continue to generate quotes with a nice inspirational poster. So on this
it has
it has a man in a desert. A nice bright sky with some clouds. He's walking alone. He's got what looks like track shorts and a blue shirt.
He's climbing a dune.
Very out of place. Yes, climbing a dune. And he's probably imagining his girlfriend imagining. So it's a boring girlfriend.
And a lovely picture.
I found a site today that you guys might love. It's called the Florida Man Article Generator.
Ooh.
You just click a generator button and it just pops out a stupid, hilarious Florida article. Like this one says, I just clicked it. Florida woman attacks a coworker with a fish at a hair salon.
Yep.
More Florida than that. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So Florida man article generator. Another winner.
Click it again. Click it again.
Yeah.
Let's click it again. Okay. Florida.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, man. Oh, it's a theme here? Oh. Florida man kills best... Florida man kills best friend with a fish at an elementary school?
Oh. They're all fish related.
It's a series. It's a trilogy.
Wow. Florida man enslaves elementary schooler with a knife at a McDonald's. I don't know if these are real.
Oh, my God. Wow.
It's ridiculous.
I think it works the same way InspiroBot works.
I think they have the same programmer, this InspiroBot and the Florida man.
It might be. They might share the same circuits. God damn. All right. Well, now that we're nice and inspired, I feel like we can move on into some of the questions. We've got this first question. It's from Reddit. It's by our fan. Well, it's found by our fan, Suze. Thank you, Suze. It says, how do I make him feel special? That was all in caps. I'm not that excited. I've been seeing this guy for around 2 months, but we've been friends for much longer. We haven't officially asked each other to be GFBF because I feel like we are both a little scared, but we're always together and hanging out. I'm going to sleep over at his on Saturday, and I really want to do something special for him. But IDK, what to do? I can't plan a dinner because it's his house, and I can't take him to his favorite place because of lockdown restrictions. Weird face. What do I do? I'm very confused. And that's it.
Well, we don't know this man. We don't know what his specific likes are. But I mean, I can tell you that every man likes like some sexy ass lingerie, that kind of stuff. Like some sort of like you getting sex, like getting sexy and intimate. Just, yeah. I'm not even saying this. I'm not even saying like it's the sex, because like the sex is one thing, sexy. But like there's a way to be sexual with him that would be very exciting. And most guys like that, you know, I don't know, you know, I can't say if it's, you might have a, some sort of special outfit that might, you might look great in the bedroom. You may have some moves that, you know, you've been holding back on. I think this is the time to bust out this stuff, regardless of, I think any
just
guy,
bust the move.
You know, because each guy has their own thing. Some guys like sports. Some guys like, you know, whatever. Some guys are crazy about food. So, like you said, you can't cook. And, like, we don't know the details of this guy, but most guys would like it if you really kind of got creative and surprised him in the bedroom with something romantic and sexy. I think that'll make his night in a huge way.
I really like that. And just to add on top of that, obviously you can't cook because it's at his place, but you can bring sexy foods, like bring 5 bananas and eat them all. Maybe share them with him if you want, but eat them all very sexily. Sexy. So
yeah, you could bring some sexy treats like that. That's a fabulous idea. Yeah, I think most guys would, like 90% of men would be like thumbs up on that kind of approach. You probably can't go wrong there. But
whereas, I would say so. Because you know what that girlfriend's doing is she's grasping. She's not imagining.
No,
so,
right.
Make sure you're being sexy and grasp.
Just grasp.
Are you a boring girlfriend or are you a game-changing girlfriend?
Sounds like she's
a girlfriend you want to be.
If she takes our advice, she'll be a game-changing girlfriend.
Yeah. Grasp his dick. Right, guys? Right,
guys? Get your hand down. Get your
just
hand.
Just keep trying to high five. Hilarious.
Now, Eric, what about you? What are your thoughts here for making a truly special interaction?
I thought Jonesy here was on the right track too with the bringing over a special meal, maybe some baked goods, right?
Baked bananas, yeah, so you can
baked
still
bananas. Cornbread,
cornbread, chocolate
cornbread.
Chip cookies.
Everybody knows cornbread is an aphrodisiac.
The way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
God damn good it, suggestion. That's so right. Fuck.
Yeah, great suggestion. Yeah.
So find out what he likes and then make it or buy it
or
at
just
the store
bring a bunch of
it.
Who doesn't like chocolate chip cookies
or
some
it.
Homemade Rice Krispie treats
or wear it,
make it, wear it, put it in your mouth.
Lady Gaga yourself, instead of like a meat dress, you can do like a baked goods dress. So.
Homemade edible undies.
Oh, God.
Cornbread lingerie.
Fruit
imagine
by the foot.
All those carbs. If he has to eat the whole thing off of you, Jesus Christ. Carby's
newest item
right
at Carby's.
That's a nice callback.
Yeah, it was.
All right. Any other advice for this person before we move on? All right. That's great. You're good. Now we're gonna go on to a couple quick questions. We're gonna answer them quickly, and they're called Quora quickies because we get them from Quora. I feel like I'm explaining it longer than it's gonna take to answer them. So we're gonna move in. This first one is, how do I get damp/musky smells out of books? Stop buying books. Buy ebooks. Go Kindle. Go Nook, which is the Barnes and Noble edition, because there ain't no musk in electronics. That should be the motto.
How are your books getting musky?
Bro, that's just what happens.
Like, where do you live?
They must be old, right? They've been sitting around for years and years. But
you
how do you
a library?
How do you get this musky smell out of your books?
I don't know. Body spray, bro.
Musky books.
Maybe.
How long do you have to have books before they start becoming musky?
I mean,
well, there's
store them in the attic, maybe, or if you can't.
Then they'll get dusty and musky.
You're right. Okay, here's a solution. This is just a thought. I can't believe I'm going to attempt to answer this.
Please.
Get some essential oils, okay? You want to get lavender is a good one. Lavender. Yep. And just kind of put a few drops in the books. What about that?
Oh, smart.
I like that.
I love that more than I was going to say Axe body spray. So that's more classy.
Yeah.
Spray the armpit of each book.
I mean, a book is essentially like an armpit anyway.
Sure.
It just opens up.
Yeah,
and
it spreads.
I
like that.
Anyway, sorry, Eric, you were going to say something.
scented bookmarks.
Whoa, do those exist?
No, oh, and if they don't exist, get a fruit leather, you know, like a mango or a apricot, and just put it right in.
Like a fruit roll up.
I love that suggestion.
Yeah. Is a fruit roll up as a bookmark?
But we should make scented bookmarks. If that doesn't exist, that's $1 million idea. It's the next pet rock.
Yeah.
All right. Market.
All right. Cut that part out.
No. A fruit roll up as a bookmark. I feel like I would gain 10 pounds and not read any books, because then I could lose my place. I have to start over with another fruit roll up.
They didn't have fruit roll ups, and
you're
used
like
a gusher.
Flipping the pages with the fruit roll up like it's one of those sticky hands.
Gross! And you're gonna have a musky fruit roll up. But no, that's good.
Is that a real question?
That's a real question.
I've never had a musky book personally. So I too question this question.
That's like a question from like a 100-year-old person, right? How old was that person?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. We should learn more about it. How do I get damp, musky smells out of books? I should have read it like that. All right.
Musky.
Next question. I want to be arrested. I want to be arrested for a nonviolent crime. I don't want to harm anyone. I just want to be arrested. What should I do about this?
This is a real question?
This is another real question. Another real question.
What is this, like a social experiment for this person? This is like a freshman psychology major just wants to.
Aren't there some sort of elderly folk that have a bucket list, and on one of the items is usually I want to be arrested? I don't know if that's common or if that's just in the movies.
But see, the answer is easy. It's white collar crime. It's the best.
Such as?
Embezzlement.
Yeah,
some insider trading.
It's the most rewarding if you get away with it, right? All that money. And in fact, I think even if you get busted, if you hide some of the money somewhere, it'll be waiting for you when you get out. And we all know those sentences on white collar crime are so lenient. Oftentimes they put you in those low security prison places where you get to you get to play horseshoes and beer pong all day. Yeah. So white collar crime is so where it's at, man.
You catch up on your musty books.
Oh yeah, there you go. I think that's an excellent answer. That's great. Anybody else have anything to add?
Don't most cities have like really old laws on the books?
Yeah, they
like
do.
Stuff that just doesn't make sense in
the modern
era.
Laws. They're blue laws.
A Find lot of one are... of those, hop on a horse, ride it down Main Street, get arrested doing something memorable.
Yeah, in Texas, it's illegal to own more than 8 vibrators. So just go to the sex shop.
Buy 9 vibrators.
Yeah, buy 9 vibrators and put them in a fanny pack, and you'll walk around town pulling them out at every corner, pull another one out until you reach the front of the police station, and then turn them all on and put them on the steps of the police station.
Oh my God.
Do like a seance.
And put them in a circle around you, huh?
Goodbye. String them all together like it's a Christmas
all vibrating.
Light. Throw it around your neck.
Yeah.
Make them up like a sexy butcher shop. Oh, God.
That's a real question? Wow.
It's a real question from real people out there.
Man, people are so dumb.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. So I think a classic nonviolent crime that is also memorable is streaking.
Oh, yeah.
You can always, when in doubt, just go streaking. It's fun. You're going to have the time of your life. And just let your dick hang out, or your labia, whatever you got going on. Just,
yeah, do it at a playoff game. Like, get it really seen.
Yeah, get it on TV.
There you go. AC/DC concert, wherever there's going to be televised stuff. Yeah. A Smash Mouth concert.
It might get violent, but...
that's true. God, man.
It's purely semantics.
All right, moving on to the next question. Does anyone have any advice on how not to wait for a text? Whenever I start to text or get interested in a girl, I always seem to end up waiting for a text. Also checking Snap and seeing that delivered 10, 15 minutes, and then I feel shitty. Any advice, please?
But you just got to get busy, man, you know? And if you're not busy, plan it out so you're busy, because that's really, you know, you got to stay busy. Otherwise, you're just going to keep checking that shit.
Right.
Get busy. Get busy, you loser.
A watched. Yeah.
Define get busy. What do you mean by get busy?
By that means text multiple girls. So that way, if one doesn't respond, the other 17 will. So that's one
it's
way.
Like chess. You got to think steps ahead. Like that way this one's responding by the time you're already waiting for the other one. You're always ready.
You could get busy, you know, chasing other women. You could get busy playing. You could fall into a video game hole for 12 hours a day. I mean, there's many ways to get busy.
You could do a white collar crime. You could get arrested.
Yeah, that takes a lot of effort. You could create create a fake hedge fund and then funnel all this money to offshore banks in the Caribbean. Like that takes a lot of time, but you could do it.
You could do it. And then you know what will be the least of your worries? Oh, Cindy didn't snap me back. No, because you're like, fuck, the feds are on my trail and I got to get out of this country quickly. So, bigger fish to fry. Yes, that's where I came.
Out of the vending machine.
You could learn.
You could learn a new skill. Get busy learning a new skill, like stand-up comedy, for instance. That'll take up some of your time.
Oh yes, man.
We need more comics. We need more of them.
Hey, that's a surefire way for her never to text you again.
Send her snaps of your comedy bits. Oh, God. Well, good. That is the last question. We've arrived at the end. So I wanted to say thank you, Jonesy, for coming with us on this ride, holding our hand, grasping our hand. You were not a boring girlfriend. You were a game-changing guest. So thank you.
That's really sweet. Thank you. I enjoyed that. I like your format, the questions at the end and the quotes and stuff. This is the kind of thing that separates your show from other shows. And so, yeah, I enjoyed that. And I hope this was a good episode. I hope your listeners got something out of it. You guys are great, though.
I'm sure
every episode is fun. Even if your guest is kind of like, you guys kind of pick up the slack, I'd imagine. So every episode's probably good. Because there's three comics hosting this show. You can't go wrong.
Oh, man. Well, thank you for making us gush. And I know my mom just texted me and said, great job, son. I feel like it's a great episode.
She's listening live.
Yeah, she's our one live listener.
She's actually behind me. No.
Oh, my God. I wish she was behind you. I so wish she was behind you.
She can't even hear you guys. She just hears me. That's how it goes. But it was awesome to have you. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Cam. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Jonesy, I know you said it once, but say it twice. Where can people find you? What have you got going on? Where can you get followed? Sounds a weird way to put it, but
yes, follow me at Funny Jones on Instagram, and the podcast is Weird AF News. That's it.
Nice.
Which, by the way, at Funny Jones is a super solid Instagram name.
Oh, hey, thanks, Cam. That's
I appreciate you landed a good one there.
Yeah, it's only, I mean, I couldn't get Jonesy, so that's what I kind of chose that a long time ago and then kind of stuck with that. It's hard to get Jonesy, man. It's such a popular nickname throughout the world.
I'm surprised Jones wasn't taken. That's a good one.
Yeah.
You still got the second option.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
That is a good. God, I just don't want to say goodbye. I want to keep hanging with you, Jonesy. But you know what? Maybe we'll bring you back for another episode, because there's so much that I wanted to talk with you about that we just can't do in the matter of an hour. Like how you played David Letterman's son on the David Letterman show.
Oh, yeah. I could tell you the story about how I played his son and then how he refused to meet me after we taped.
What?
All right, then do it.
Yeah, I could tell you guys that story sometime. We should do this again. This was great. Yeah, I would love to do this again. Just let me know. And I'd love to get out there and do some shows with you guys, too, if you'll have me.
I also wanted to mention things are opening back up. So you got a place to stay if you want to come out.
Really? You know, this would be a joy for me to get back on stage. And your city seems to be one of the only ones that's although I heard San Diego as well. Either way, it's a drive for me. But to do comedy, it's completely worth it. So maybe we could arrange something and I could get out there, crash on one of your couches and do some shows.
Oh, we all live in the same house. We're just in different rooms because we hate each other. But imagine we fucking hate each other. We're like, God damn, it's time for the podcast.
Fake high fives that, and like what you guys are doing. Yeah. You guys could actually high five.
They actually did all leave me hanging. Yeah.
You guys are actually within high fiveable distance and you chose not to. Oh, so funny.
Oh, man. Well, this was great. Thank you so much. All right, everybody. Thank you very much. And we'll talk at you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, Mom.
High five, Cam.
Bye, Mom. Love you.
Okay. All right. And then scene.